I always like to change my stool on Christmas Eve after saying the Christmas passage, and tonight, for the first time, I'm putting on a stool that I bought in Bethlehem this past June. So, it feels good. My brief meditation is entitled, Be a Scrooge for Christmas. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we are changed by your Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. We love Christmas carols this time of year. If you aren't allowed to say the Lord's Prayer in schools anymore or have Christmas concerts, you'll still hear Christmas carols in the shopping centers. They reflect the joy of the season, and I don't mind hearing them, well, should I confess this, in Walmart. And heaven help the poor minister who doesn't somehow manage to work in everybody's favorite Christmas carol at some point during the Advent season. But you know, one of our favorite Christmas carols is one that we never sing. We may read it, we may watch it, we may hear it, but we never sing it. And that is, of course, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. He entitled it A Christmas Carol in Prose, and he did this on purpose because he was a social reformer in his time. He was someone who, as a child, suffered the indignities of poverty and the injustice of the Industrial Revolution. His father was in debtor's prison. And he grew up wanting to change his world. But he noted the power of Christmas carols, how they could move people's hearts much more than a pamphlet or a lecture. So he finally resolved, in order to reach the hearts of his society, that he would write a Christmas carol. And he did so, separating it not into chapters, but in staves or stanzas, just like a song is sung. And he has given us a song for the ages. I think God, in God's infinite wisdom, must have considered something similar as the Almighty sought to move the hearts of humanity. You know, the old laws, the commandments, weren't working so well. And tyranny and cruelty and oppression never really changed a mind or heart. They may have frightened some people, but it only was a passing thing. Our Lord knows that any permanent change only comes through love, through relationship, through engagement in such a way that you invite someone into your life, and in that invitation and in that power of being together, you are changed forever. This is the rationality of divinity. This is the wisdom of God. Love makes sense. It takes a long time, yet must be patient and kind. But it is the only thing that will change us. I love the truth that this is rational. There was a beautiful letter written in the Globe and Mail on Friday by an atheist who celebrates Christmas. I don't know if you saw it. I thought it was pretty good for an atheist. He is someone who said, in spite of what the new atheists say, and this was written by a Queen's Law professor, I am an atheist, but I still have to give Jesus his due. I understand and honor the change he has made in our world. He is an icon of acceptance, generosity, and tolerance. He goes on to mention what I hope most people know, that it is in fact Jesus Christ, his teachings, his wisdom, who lies at the foundations of the values of modern society, the rule of law, democracy, human rights. These things are all derived from our Christian heritage. I should say our Judeo-Christian heritage. The great thinkers of the 17th century, John Locke, he cites in particular, who had a notion that every human being was created equal by God and had inalienable rights. And if society was not willing to give these rights that God had given, then humanity had the right to fight for them. He said, and his name was Arthur Coville, he said, I celebrate this Lord of Lords, and I appreciate the way his teachings and values resonate through my civilization. But I felt sad in a way. He, of course, said, of course, atheism is predicated on rational thought. And yet, as his letter unfolded, it showed a limited kind of rational thought. Because it was willing to understand the importance of the rule of law and values and rights, and even to understand the role of an icon or example, inspiring us to do better, he never came to understand the rationality of love. That it isn't simply a rule or a teaching that makes a difference. It is an example that we may fail in trying to follow. It is the one who comes to love us, where change is made. And so God, being the more rational one than any atheist or Christian, comes to us in this word made flesh, a vulnerable flesh, to suffer with us and for us, that we might know we are loved and be changed patiently, persistently, but forever. It happened to Scrooge. I think that's the great sadness for me in this Christmas Carol of Charles Dickens. When I say the name Scrooge, what do you think about?
A mean old man,
a miser, bah, humbug. And yet, A Christmas Carol is one of the great stories of a life transformed. That's what it's about. Why is it something in our cynical attitudes, in our lack of hope for ourselves or our world, that we choose to freeze Scrooge in his twisted, dark self? Do we forget that here, too, was a human being who, in his younger life, knew rejection by his father? His sister, who was, it seems, the only person who ever loved him, died giving birth. He knew what it was to be abandoned and have his heart broken. He knew what it was to fail those he loved, and he was hardened by a hard world. Is he so different from any one of us? And yet, he was changed. It took a lot. Poor old dead Marley, first of all, and then those three ghosts, but each one awaking in him something more of the humanity that he had lost, something more of the truth that he too was loved and could give love, and that all those hurts and pains that he had endured in his life were not the truth of him. And he woke up in the morning holding on to those drapes, saying, "I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was." Well, let's let him change. When you hear the name Scrooge after this night, I want you to think of a kind, giving, wonderful man. A man who was as good as his word and did all he said and infinitely more. Who was to Tiny Tim, who did not die, a second father. And was as good a friend and as good a master and as good a man in the good old city knew. And any good old city or town or borough in the good old world. This Christmas Eve is about God's love for you. It's not an abstract love. God came into our history that God might come into our eternity. God came into our arms, came into our streets, our synagogues, came into our brokenness and our hatreds, and onto our cross, came into our tombs, so that we might know we are loved. That makes sense. It's rational. And it's the only thing that will change our world. So on this Christmas Eve, I hope you leave this place not as the person you were. How does his story end? And it was always said of him that he kept Christmas well. As well as any man alive who possessed that knowledge. And may that be said of us, of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Amen.